God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to this special leadership conference call. My name is Rico Magnelli. Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This is a follow-up to the special leadership conference calls regarding the Apologia and Apologia Part 2. This will complement the first two, and it's called Apologia Part 3. As you recall, Apologia is a Greek word that can mean an answer of truth in the face of accusation. Here in the book of Acts, regarding the situation that we've been discussing, is the Greek word homothumadon. Homothumadon. It's spelled H-O-M-O-T-H-U-M-A-D-O-N, transliterated. And this Greek word identifies a unique characteristic of the first century church that can help us as we move forward. It means, in its basic form, to be of one accord. And getting to one accord is not done haphazardly. It's accomplished with God and His Word. Prayer is certainly an indicator of the willingness of believers to accomplish things with God and get Him involved. So prayer is very important. There are seven positive occurrences in the book of Acts. Seven positive occurrences in the book of Acts. And in the context of each is a movement of God that results in unity of purpose and action. It's a movement of God that sets a foundation for the believers or arises to respond in conflict from without or from within the church. And we'll see that beautifully laid out. The leadership play a real key role. The leadership with the energy of conviction recognize God at work and lead the way with each believer adding their personal energy of conviction, enthusiasm, and commitment. And this is what builds that one accord. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. These are referring to the 11 apostles of verse 13. Because by this time, Judas had departed. It's after the ascension and in between, and before the day of Pentecost. And the one accord is with one mind or unanimously. But these folks were all with one accord, with one mind, unanimously. And I like this from the New American Standard, New Testament Greek lexicon. It says that homothumadon is a unique Greek word that helps us understand the uniqueness of the Christian community. Homothumadon is a compound, that's where you put two words together, of two words meaning to rush along and in unison. To rush along and in unison. And the image is almost musical. A number of notes are sounded, which while different, harmonize in pitch and tone. As the instruments of a great concert under the direction of a concert master, so the Holy Spirit blends together the lives of members of Christ's church. End quote. I think that's a pretty neat description. But remember, it's a compound word. It's made up of two words. The first word is hamas, which means one and the same in the Greek. And the second part is the Greek word thumos, thumos, which is the word for passion. And I like the way E.W. Bullinger defines thumos, the mind, the spirit that is breathed out, an intense passion of the mind. So this isn't just kind of agreeing with something or, you know, a lukewarm agreement. This is a passion that each individual has, and they add them one to another. It reminds me of like a sports team. When a sports team lock in with one purpose to win a game, and each individual on that team is completely locked in, heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're of one passion to one end, to win that game. That's what it reminds me of. The first occurrence here in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, you have the apostles, Mary, and the brethren were carrying out Jesus Christ's instruction. So you clearly see they're following his instructions. He no longer was present on earth, but he left specific instructions for them to abide in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. So you have the apostles leading the way, Mary and the brethren were carrying out Jesus Christ's instructions. And the reason they were together is they were following the teachings and instructions of Christ, the best that they knew. They didn't know all the fullness of what would happen and exactly when it was going to happen. We do the same. However, in hindsight, we now have the gift of Holy Spirit and have the all truth of the seven church epistles, which detail the knowledge of Christ's accomplished work. So this is the first occurrence. And you see, it leads to the next one in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we read, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and it had been coming since Genesis 3:15, they were all with one accord, homophumadon, in one place. Now, we know this refers to the 12 apostles, because Matthias, chapter 1, verse 26, was added to the 11 apostles to make 12. So the 12 were in one accord. They were with one passion in the temple, and they manifested power from on high. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled, all 12, with the Holy Spirit, the gift, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is fantastic. Well, notice that the apostles manifest power from on high first. It was initiated in their lives first. And in so many ways, you see the growth and development of the first century church work in those ways as it moves out. Because they needed to lead the way. And homophumadon is not about joining any group or going along with the crowd. It's about personal conviction on the truth regarding what God is moving in Christ. Now, they didn't know the fullness of it, surely. The seven church epistles hadn't been written, and the mystery of the one body had not yet been revealed. But they moved with God, and God continued to work in this situation. And that's the context of that first and second of the Greek word homophumadon. Look at Acts chapter 2, because it built from there with the apostles manifesting power from on high. Let's look at the third occurrence here in Acts chapter 2. After Peter and the 11 stood up and they held forth the word, believing together, look what happened in verse 46 of Acts chapter 2. Here's the third occurrence of this word. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And they continuing daily with one accord, homothumadon. It was one passion. Each individual, with their own enthusiasm and commitment, was carrying this out on a day-by-day basis. They continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That continuing daily is interesting. They pursued the fellowship one with another based on what they had been taught of verse 42. They recognized the benefit doing the Word of God was involved, and they were not joining a five senses club or an organization or a movement, but joining themselves by individual conviction to what God was working. Look at verse 42. And they continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and respect him upon every soul. They were continuing in the word first, then in the full sharing via breaking bread and prayers. This is what God was moving in them. Each individual believer to build a homothumadon, one accord, one passion, cannot come by people just agreeing with something. Homothumadon requires individual conviction, beginning with the leadership. And we'll see in each occurrence, as we've seen here, we see the leadership involved leading the way. Then each believer adds their passion and personal conviction to what God is moving. This is so vital, because without it, we don't have the real, the homothumadon. Now, we'll be back to Acts, but turn to 2 Timothy, please. We'll be back to Acts. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the leader is encouraged to be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. And here, in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Absolutely. This is talking about leaders. And leaders don't necessarily have to have titles. They're leading. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Well, the husbandman here is a farmer that laboreth. So this is not a lazy person. Anybody that's farmed knows that it takes labor. And I've never seen the word being built in anyone who is lazy. Personally, I've not seen it. Working the word into our heart, listening to it, reading it, studying it, and considering it deeply to the end where we get convinced and take appropriate action in love is the aim. Personal conviction cannot be transferred to anyone else. Lacking personal conviction often leads people to looking to others to make decisions for them. That's not how we lead in the grace administration, for sure. See, and it says, the husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And the words "must be" mean necessary. It's necessary to be first partaker of the fruits. The benefit of what we sow first to be recognized by the individual. That means we receive the benefits of what we sow. God never uses anybody. When we see the fruit of God's word believed ourselves, our personal conviction deepens. So what are we sowing in our heart? It must be the word, not what people say about it or what people say. What does the word say? And then look what it says here, verse 7. Consider what I say. This word "consider" in the Greek grammatical construction is actually a command to be done in the present continuously. That means we keep on doing it. We keep considering it. What's interesting here, it's also in the singular. It's talking to an individual because it's an individual decision. It is for you. It is for me. It says, consider what I say and the Lord give thee. Thee, again, is a singular pronoun. It's not talking collectively. It's an individual decision. This is what it's at the basis of one accord. And then we have the Greek, the word understanding in all things. The word understanding is a familiar Greek word, translated understanding here, to many of us. It's the Greek word synesis. Synesis. It's a running together, a flowing together of two rivers. And this is how it all builds. It's that personal conviction, seeing the fruit of what we sow ourselves. You know, the principle of cause and effect is fundamental to begin to put life together. It's so basic that from this one principle alone, cause and effect, someone can amass a voluminous amount of knowledge. And that could be for good or for bad because it's a principle. But God instituted nature all around us as the principle of cause and effect is so visible, most specifically, certainly to a farmer, because they see the plant life grow, the crops. They plant, they water, boom, it grows. Back to Acts chapter 4. Why we went to that section is because it's personal conviction. It starts with leaders and personal conviction to build a one accord. This is the basis of that one accord, that personal conviction to the truth of what God is moving. It's the word becoming real, not just an idea, but real. So we looked at the first three occurrences of Homothumadon in the book of Acts. And those first three occurrences, as I mentioned, are in the context of a movement of God that sets a foundation upon which believers can live and grow and develop. Here in Acts chapter 4 is going to be another movement of God. But here, it's not on the foundation in the context. What it is a conflict from without the church. Without it, not within it. So opposition came with one to attack the church. And they with one voice went to God. Acts chapter 4, a familiar section to us. This is after the religious leaders were attacking the movement of God's word, specifically Peter and John. And then in Acts chapter 4, they had gone back to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Here it is in Acts chapter 4, verse 24. And when they heard that, meaning the company, the church there, and they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, homothumadon, one passion, unity of purpose. And it would have been personal conviction on each individual with leaders setting the pace. And said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They recognized the nature that God had set up around them. They recognized God's handiwork in this beautiful world that we live in. It's interesting that they prayed, but it doesn't say who prayed. It doesn't mention that one prayed and they all kind of believed. It doesn't say that they handed out, you know, the prayer so everyone could be of one mind. However it was done, we don't know, but it was with one voice. One voice. With one accord. Homothumadon. Look at verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They were unified to speak the word in boldness when there was that issue, that conflict from without. God was moving And they were responding with action, and the action was to speak the word with boldness. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, verse 30, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child or servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, meaning the people were stirred to action, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with that gift of Holy Spirit and manifestation, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's the action that they took as God was inspiring and working with them. This is a movement of God when we see the conflict from without. And the multitude of them that believed were of one accord and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Wow. That's the fourth occurrence of Hamathunadon. The first three we see set the foundation for the Christian church. They were of unity of purpose on a daily basis to carry out that based their activities based on the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And they were doing this on a daily basis, fellowshipping one with another. Tremendous. Now let's look at the fifth occurrence. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. This is in the context of a conflict within the church. This conflict from within the church deals with Ananias and Sapphira and how they conducted themselves deceitfully according to the word. Here in Acts chapter 5, Peter, as God worked in him, handled this situation, which you can read about in Acts chapter 5. But look at the result. Verse 11 of Acts chapter 5. And great fear. Fear here is respect. Great respect came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with Hamathunadon in Solomon's porch. They were with one passion, one mind. There was great respect that was engendered. Again, going back to respect upon every soul. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. This even got the attention of others. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. Wow. Here we see the one accord response of respect as a result of the conflict from within that was handled. And there was great respect in the church and those that heard. And many signs and wonders were carried out. The temperature of believing among the believers was so high as a result, right here in the context of this fifth occurrence, that it overwhelmed the adversary and his hold on people. And spirits were taken out. His hold was broken. The adversary's hold was broken. And everyone was healed. That's the fifth occurrence. So we've seen a foundation in the context of the one passion. We've seen in the fourth occurrence a conflict from without and how they responded with speaking the word boldly and again, God's power being manifested. Here in the fifth occurrence, we see conflict from within and it was handled with the power of God and great respect ensued, with wonders and signs and the adversary being discomfited. Let's look at the sixth occurrence, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, please. In Acts chapter 8, Philip goes down to the city of Samaria. City, this city, Philip goes and he preaches Christ. In Acts chapter 8, this is after many were sent out from Jerusalem, Philip went to the city of Samaria. And in verse 5 of Acts chapter 8, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He didn't preach Jesus, he preached Christ. That's reflecting the exalted one, the resurrected one, and the power that there is in Christ Jesus. And the people with one accord, homophumenon, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Look at the context. Another movement of God. This is the first time, the first occurrence of one accord, homophumenon, moving outside of the Jerusalem area. This tells us that the truths regarding homophumenon and one accord can be taught and are repeatable. Remember, the first three occurrences laid the foundation. The fourth occurrence was a conflict from without. The fifth occurrence, a conflict from within. Here we see that these principles are repeatable. He laid the same foundation that he had learned back in Acts chapter 2, and they brought the same godly results with the people. That's why it's so important for us to get back to that same vein of gold ore that God showed the Apostle Paul. That knowledge of the mystery, that vein of gold where we want to tap into. We want to get back to that foundation. And we do this with homophumenon. We do it with one passion. With each individual people, the leaders leading the way, with personal conviction and the energy of their conviction. Now let's look at the final occurrence in Acts 15. How appropriate for our understanding in this context that we've been working on regarding these apologias. Acts 15 is the last occurrence where there was conflict from within the church. They needed to resolve issues. And that's why they came together in what many call the Jerusalem Council. And their response, with the apostles present, apostles, elders, and the church, the apostles, elders, and the brethren, all in one accord. That means there was personal conviction and energy behind this unity of purpose. In Acts chapter 15, this is part of the letter that they wrote. Verse 23 of Acts chapter 15. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders, there they are, plural, apostles. The gift ministries endorse this. And brethren said, send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you, tarassoed, we've seen that word in the second sharing, where it's to be agitated by various emotions, have troubled you, disturbed you, agitated you with various emotions, with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Here it is. It seemed good unto us, plural, being assembled, all of them, with homophumenon, with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Look at the endorsement that came from the ministries in the body. They were of one accord. And we don't know exactly how long it took to get to that point, but they certainly were of one accord. This is the last occurrence of homophumenon in the book of Acts. And again, it deals with a conflict from within. They came together And there were many people that spoke, but they all came together in one passion, one mind, one heart, one voice to respond with the appropriate action for the situation. It's interesting that the Jerusalem Council is that last use of the word hamathumadon positively of the believers in the book of Acts. It's not used in Acts 21 where the apostles are not mentioned. That speaks very loudly. Now please turn to Romans 15. Romans 15 is the only occurrence here in the epistles. Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, we'll see the only occurrence in the epistles. Here it is in verse 6. That you may with one mind, hamathumadon, and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. With one passion and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've got to read some of the context here. Look at verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. It says the God of patience. Patience here is endurance. And consolation is comfort. It's encouragement. We need the God of endurance that holds up under any pressure. And we need the God of comfort to bring us support and relief and encouragement in order to help us build a one accord, a one passion. It says, now the God of endurance and comfort, patience and consolation, grant you to be like-minded. The word like-minded is the word meaning thinking or thoughts. And I want to read to you Philippians 2, 3 through 5, because it uses the same word. And what is this thoughts? What is this like-mindedness that we are to have? Let me read to you Philippians 2, 3 through 5. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind in you is the same word as like-minded. It's having the mind of Christ, having the thoughts of Christ. This is how we get like-minded. And how is it supposed to be? One toward another according to Christ Jesus. We are to have the mind of Christ because it's Christ in each of us. And it's to be one toward another. This one toward another in the Greek is en aleion kata. And it means Christ Jesus. It means mutually and reciprocally. So mutually and reciprocally, one toward another, we are to have that same mind regarding Christ Jesus. Because Christ is the head of the body. And it's Christ in each of us. How powerful this is. And how this is right in the context of being of one accord. And what should this result be of this one accord? It should glorify God. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the end result, to give glory to Him. The question we must continue to ask ourselves day by day is, does our walk glorify God? Well, look at verse 1. Let's look at the first four verses of Romans 15 and get a deeper understanding in its context. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The word ought means something that we owe. It's a moral obligation. There's financial obligations in the Word, and there's moral obligations. This is a moral obligation for those that are strong, to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And the weak are those without strength. You know, the further understanding you can see in chapter 14 previously, we won't read it, but it talks about not judging people when they have preferences and not to be a stumbling block to others with our own. Christ is the best example of not pleasing himself. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, to build each other up. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Getting to one accord involves people who believe in something greater than themselves, the purposes and will of God. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope is the anchor to the soul, allowing us to endure. That's what the God of endurance and comfort has given us as a solid mooring to our hearts. We've seen 7 positive occurrences in the book of Acts and 1 in the epistles of Romans, in the epistle of Romans. And in the context of each of these 7 occurrences in Acts is a movement of God that results in unity of purpose and action. It's a movement of God that sets a foundation or arises to respond in a conflict, either from within or from without the fellowship of believers. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We saw also that the leadership with energy of conviction recognized God at work in these movements to lay a foundation or in conflict from within or without and lead the way with each believer, adding their personal conviction, enthusiasm, and commitment. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. This is what he was writing to the Corinthians. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. The Corinthians could not receive the fullness of the revelation of the mystery. They were on milk. The meat of the word helps people discern between good and evil, as we learn from Hebrews 5:14. So they are not as children, like Ephesians 4:14 says, that are tossed about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? This is the way the Corinthian church was operating. Verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. The adversary would like to only have 2 options, us and them. But the 3rd option is the right one. It's God and his word. And what he is moving, this is where we can move our hearts of believing and see a one accord. Verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. That's what's most important, is God. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's right. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. We work together with God as he moves in laying the foundation or reestablishing the foundation or when there's conflict within or from without. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, Paul wrote, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the head. He is the foundation. He is the foundation for those first three occurrences of Hamathumadon in the book of Acts. They followed his instructions. They received the gift of Holy Spirit, and then believers freely availed themselves of fellowship meetings for spiritual nurturing growth based on what they were taught by the apostles. That is the foundation. And we saw Philip in Acts 8, he moved the same foundation and got the same godly results. Our job is to respond to God as he moves in and with us. It is up to each of us to add our personal conviction in one accord with one voice. We plant and water, but only God can bring the increase, the genuine growth of the word in the heart of a man or a woman, flooding it with his love and his light. This one accord is the next step. And returning to the genuine foundation of Jesus Christ, build from there. Heavenly Father, thank you for your abundant grace, mercy, and peace. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for how you open the eyes of our understanding, how you have given us the gift of Holy Spirit. And Father, you've given us men and women that have taught us this word. They've taught us this word and have brought such deliverance to our lives. Father, thank you for energizing each and every individual to the end that we move with one passion, with one accord on the things that you are moving in our day and time, to see your word live and the foundation reestablished and how we are followers. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you.